Welcome to Concord Matters, show where we do what Jesus and the Apostle Paul for sure did, if not all of the saints throughout time. That's to strive to speak with one voice, as Jesus did in the Apostles and the Father, the truth of the Christian faith as found in the Scriptures. So welcome to this inaugural show. We are excited not only to provide this show, but I think we're even more excited that you, the listener, if you've never studied this wonderful collection of confessions called the Book of Concord, that you will join in. We know you will enjoy it, and you're going to go deeper into God's Word than you've ever been before. You're going to enjoy it. And so we invite you, this is a call-in show, we invite you to do that. Participate with us with your questions, your comments. You can write these numbers down, and we'll be giving them throughout the day. In the St. Louis listening area, 314-821-0850. Worldwide, 800-730-2727. Or you can email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd love to hear from you. To begin our program, we are so blessed to have as a partner in this and an underwriter, Brothers of John the Steadfast. And we have the founder and the main guy at Brothers of John the Steadfast, the Reverend Dr. Tim Rosso from Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois. Welcome to Concord Matters, Tim.
Hey, good to be along.
It's great to have you on. Tell us a little bit about why was Brothers of John the Steadfast formed? What are your main areas of emphasis and how people can participate?
Well, it's an interesting story. I had an elder several years ago say to me, he was a former Catholic, and he said, "Hey, Pastor, we need a group just like the Knights of Columbus." And I thought to myself, well, we don't need any chicken dinners in the Lutheran Church. We got enough of those already.
And we got a whole town of that in Frankenmuth, right?
Exactly, exactly. And he said, no, Pastor, you don't understand. The Knights of Columbus were formed as a lay group to support pure doctrine in the Catholic Church. And I did a little digging into it, and sure enough, that was their goal. And so as soon as I knew that, I agreed with him. And it took a couple of years.
Oh, no. We lost Pastor Rosso. We'll get him back here in just a minute. Let me, while we're doing that, let me introduce the rest of our distinguished panel. Every week we'll have a rotating host. Right now we'll consist of four and eventually possibly more. And they will invite on pastors, theologians, and lay people of all sorts to discuss this wonderful Book of Concord. So let me introduce them. First, the associate editor of steadfastlutherans.org. That's the website. Pastor Joshua Shear, he's senior pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Welcome to Concord Matters, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, Rod?
It's going great. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
And then a blessed pastor here in the St. Louis area, Pastor Charlie Hendrickson. He's got two congregations in the St. Louis area, St. Matthew's Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri, as well as Redeemer Lutheran Church in Potosi. Welcome to Concord Matters, Charlie.
Thank you, Rod. And also, I have been a blogger on Brothers of John the Steadfast for about 5 years.
And he, Charlie, just put a little promo on Concord Matters. It's really nice. It tells you the edition of the Book of Concord we're going to be using. Tells you you can get it on sale right now at CPH for about $18 and some change.
Yeah, and the Brothers of John the Steadfast website is at steadfastlutherans.org.
Very good. And then our own associate director of Worldwide KFUO, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio. Welcome to Concord Matters, Craig.
Thanks, Rod. Unlike Charlie, I am not a usual contributor to BJS, but I am a regular lurker at BJS.
A lurker, so a regular lurker.
What Charlie posts, I lurk at.
Okay. Is well, lurking like twerking? I don't know.
No, it's very different.
It's good lurking.
I don't want to see you twerk, Craig.
Sorry that we cut off Dr. Rosso. So, Tim, you were doing so well there. Sorry about that,
that
snafu.
Problem.
Pick it up where we left off, if you can remember.
So anyway, we got the website going. We are committed to developing a sense of pure doctrine and an understanding of pure doctrine, promoting the Book of Concord among laity. And, of course, we welcome pastors as well. We have a lot of support from pastors. And right now, our work consists of three things. The blog, which when we're really rolling, we're getting about 10,000 hits a day. We have, thanks to Joshua Shear, our associate editor, we've got about 25 guys writing for us. So we've got the blog, and then we have got our annual conference. This year we're going to do a little something different with our annual conference. We're going to try to have a couple of smaller one-day conferences around the country. And then now we've got this wonderful thing going with KFUO, and we're happy to be partners with you guys with Concord Matters.
We couldn't be any more excited to have on a partner and underwriter like Brothers of John the Steadfast, Tim. And we so appreciate that you you allow Pastor Shear to come on the station every Monday morning, and he gives us an update of various articles from the blog. So fascinating. So welcome aboard, Tim, on this historic day, and thanks for your partnership. And we look forward to hopefully a long-running show exhorting people to be united in this great Christian faith in our study of the Book of Concord.
That would be great. Hey, I got to tell you, I'm a little distracted this morning. I don't know if you dropped me or I dropped you, but I'm out in the Pacific Northwest visiting family, and I'm looking out over our patio here in the little cottage we're in, and there's a bald eagle about 100 feet away. So,
wow.
I think there's something there about purity of doctrine and strength of the Brothers of John the Steadfast, I'm sure. I'll leave that to Charlie.
Well, listen, I think you ought to open up the doors and let us sing "Oh Beautiful" for spacious skies, and
there
we can
go.
Try to lure this bald eagle in. So that's great. Well, enjoy the view, and we look forward to your contributions, Tim, as we study the preface to the Book of Concord. Before we do that, I want to go around this round table and ask each of you at a time to express what Concord, unity in the faith, means to you, and why it's important. Let's start, if we could, with Pastor Shear. Joshua, what is Concord to you, and does it matter?
What is it, and does it matter? All right. Well, what is it is exactly what St. Paul encourages in 1 Corinthians, to have the same mind among you, that we believe the same things, and that affects how we act together, that affects how we think, that it affects how we speak, it affects everything about what we do. And so believing the same things brings you into harmony with one another. And why is it important? Well, you can see from that passage in Scripture that it's important, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But also all the teachings of Christ and all the exhortations that, you know, there's going to be error out there. We have these sinful natures, and they want to believe the lie all the time. And so there's a tension always in our lives of striving to maintain that concord and keeping one another accountable to that concord.
I love where you were taking us there, Josh, because, you know, that's a very much a biblical theme, is that we love the lie and we detest the truth. Especially in these latter days, it says, you know, that people will detest having true teachings, or fancy word from that, true doctrine expressed to them. And they will love the false thing, and they will find people who will give them the lies that they want. So thanks for that great start. Craig, Concord, what is it? Does it matter at all?
Well, the word Concord kind of means with the heart, or with the heart together. And that's kind of what we're all about, is confessing together with all of us, you know, with all our being, that the truth of the gospel is found here in this book, that also we confess together these things, that we are, as Missouri Synod Lutherans, on that road together. We are in agreement. We are walking together in a confession of faith. And that's what binds us together in this church body, is the confession of faith, or at least that's what's supposed to bind us together, right? And so as long as we are confessing together, then we can maintain some unity. And hopefully this program will be something that will help bring us into a closer unity with one another. Many of our brothers have strayed from this truth, and they've run off after all the latest shiny baubles of church growthism and all the rest. But we are to return to this, no matter what our liturgical practices are. We are to return to the truth of the gospel. We are to return to all of this. And the main thrust in this entire book, and we'll get to this in the Augsburg Confession, is Article 4. And that is that we are saved by grace through faith alone, for Christ's sake, not for our own. And we'll get into that in a lot of depth throughout this entire book. But I'm really looking forward to this, because that's the basis for which we walk together. That's the basis for our unity as a church body.
Now, if you recognize what Pastor D'Onofrio was saying there by the Augsburg Confession, Article 4 and all that, you're going to say, boy, I can't wait to get there, and neither can we. And for some of you out there are like going, Augsburg article? What is he talking about? Well, hang in there, because you're going to get that soon, and you will start talking like Craig.
Did I just jump the shark? Did I wreck the entire show?
Yeah, you did. You did. And he's the one that's saying everybody had to define things, and then he goes off and does that. Tim, Concord, what is it? Does it matter?
Well, I have a background in philosophy, and so I'm always interested in matters of what is true and what is false. And the one true religion, Christianity, is a religion of assertions. It's a religion of revealed truths. And on account of that, we must constantly use our minds to search the scriptures and to seek to be unified. We're not a religion of meditation like Buddhism. We're not Hindus who seek to escape the mind and achieve some sort of suprasensorial nirvana. Instead, we are people of the book, and the Bible, the only Bible, makes assertions, and so we must confront them or be confronted by them, and decide whether or not we are for or against the assertions of Scripture. And of course, thanks to the gift of faith and the Holy Spirit, we are for those assertions. And this radio show is going to help us to seek out the truths of Scripture, arrange them in the proper order, and understand the faith.
I like that word you chose there, Tim, assertion, almost like proclamation, that it's just saying, this is the truth, here it is, and God's going to speak it to us. He's going to reveal it. So thanks for that.
Exactly,
Charlie, you're batting cleanup here. Concord, can you add something to the definition, or another slant, and why is it important?
What is it, and why does it matter? Well, what it is, the word concord, Concordia, and you notice all of our schools are called Concordia because it's named after the Book of Concord. The word concord simply means harmony, agreement in doctrine and compatible practice. I think of a verse from Psalm 133 where it says, and why does it matter? Psalm 133 verse 1, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Now, on the surface, that seems self-evident. It's more pleasant. It's good when we get along and we're dwelling in unity. But this is not just a warm and fuzzy feeling. I think of that commercial where the guy's sitting at the kindergarten table with the little kids, and he says, you know, what's better? So, all right, what's better, concord or discord? You know, harmony or disharmony? Oh, harmony! Yeah, obviously. But not just for the sake of getting, it's not getting along, what, going along to get along. It's more than that. This is harmony or agreement in the truth of the gospel. And that matters not just for pleasant feelings, but for eternity. And I think of a refrain that occurs throughout the Lutheran confessions of why we are so concerned about these doctrines, or really the doctrine, and that is that this doctrine gives all glory to Christ, That's the first thing. And secondly, it gives true comfort to terrified consciences. And so for the glory of Christ and for the comfort of troubled sinners, this is why we insist on pure doctrine and try to persuade thus.
I love your bringing in that AT&T commercial with the little kids. You know, what's better, Concord or Discord? and they all yell out, Concord, to be in agreement. And I can't help but I think most of us in the table, except for the lone Fort Wayne graduate, probably have the extreme pleasure of having Dr. Norman Nagel in class.
Yeah.
And he would always say this, gentlemen, the most surest thing you can say is what God says. And so that's what Concord is about, isn't it? Saying the same thing, agreement with what God has spoken to us.
That's what confession means, yeah. To say the same thing as what God says.
And so that's what we're about, seeking as Christians to say the same thing as God was.
Even though Lutherans are known around Christian circles to be very academic and pursue truth viciously and vigorously, I always like to say, in the end, though, Lutherans are dumb, because we just want to repeat, as you said, as Dr. Nagel said, we just want to repeat what the Scriptures say. We're trying to just mimic what God says in His Word.
And that sounds, at the outset, kind of simplistic and easy, but it's not, is it? I mean, we all strive a lifetime to be in agreement with what God has said and revealed in His Word. And so that's where we're about on this blessed show. We encourage you to participate with us. Wherever you are, get a group of people, get some Book of Concords, all kinds of ways to obtain a copy online. We're going to tell you about some of the great translations, because we're not going to work in the original German and Latin. We're going to work in English. So you can participate with us. Call in the St. Louis area, 314-821-0850, worldwide, 800-730-2727. You can even email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. And guys, I'm all excited. Here, first of the year, we're going to be able to take Facebook and Twitter and have them participate as well. Now, let's say that there's so many translations of the Blessed Book of Concord into English, and we're going to revolve around one of those translations that is really good for the layperson. It has so many valuable helps that helps them understand the background, the setting, so forth. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. It's called the Reader's Edition, and we're going to use the second edition. There'll be a link on our website of this archive show. And by the way, this is going to replay on Tuesday afternoons from 2 to 3 here on Worldwide KFUO.
Central time,
and then archived. We invite you to go on there, iPod it, share it with your friends. And we'll also, as we go, we'll hope to remember, co-host with me, to give the relevant pages in other translations. Tappert is a famous one, and then there's a brand new one, Kolb and Wengert. So we'll be sharing where to go in those two. So let's just jump right into it, shall we? We're going to start with the preface to this. And if you're using the Reader's Edition, like we're going to be using here, it's page 3. On Tappert, it's page 3. And on Kolb and Wengert, it is page 5. Guys, let's just kick it in here. The opening words are this: to the readers one and all of these our writings, we are the electors, princes, and deputies of the Holy Roman Empire in Germany, supporters of the Augsburg Confession, who subscribed our names to that document. We announce and declare, according to the dignity and rank of each person, our devotion, friendship, and greeting, combined with willing service. In these last times, and in this old age of the world, and there's a reference here to Acts 2, verse 17, what a remarkable favor of Almighty God has arisen after the darkness of papal superstitions. Let's just talk there and pick it up at what they're referring to. Anybody want to jump in on the a little bit of the background for the people who are hearing that for the first time, reading it for the first time? What's it talking about here? That they're in the Holy Roman Empire in Germany, and in these last days, the favor of God has arisen after the darkness of papal superstitions. What's going on there?
I would answer, but I think I have a sore tooth, so I got to go pray to Saint Anne to see if she'll take away my tooth. No, there's just all kinds of history here. The Holy Roman Empire, that being the empire of most of Europe at the time of the Reformation, Germany kind of a little segment of that, so scattered, not a unified Germany like we have today, not even like East and West Germany type stuff like many listeners heard or experienced growing up, but a Germany that is utterly scattered between small little provinces, small little states, and small little free cities. Every once in a while you had different free cities around, and all kinds of princes and rulers and electors and all kinds of categories. It'd take a long time to explain exactly the politics of that time. However, I will draw attention to the fact that our Christian Book of Concord begins as a confession made by political rulers. And I think that's significant that we keep that in mind.
Why would that be the case, Joshua?
Well, at the time, Luther had no problem with church and state being together, that if you had Christian rulers, those Christian rulers were obligated to use their Christian faith and to use their office as ruler to promote and to encourage the Christian faith. And you'll see it in a little bit. They'll talk about how they believe this is their divinely given duty as rulers in Germany.
So it wasn't a united country with different states and regions. It was regions who had a princely-type ruler who then, I think, made up the electorate of the Holy Roman Empire, would actually elect the emperor. And so they could choose the religion. Amazing, you know, that in today's thought, not one of those princes that I know of was an atheist and said, we won't have any religion in my turf. They all chose a form of Christianity, if I'm not mistaken.
They had two legal choices, and that was either Roman Catholicism or the evangelical faith, the Lutheran faith.
Although some of them later became reformed in some segments.
Right. Yeah. I think it wasn't until the next century.
I think it's also important to recognize here that the editors of the Book of Concord are trying to place Lutheranism within the real world, trying to place Lutheranism within the setting of a group of people within the Holy Roman Empire who are seeking Concord. They're not trying to distance themselves from Christianity, but they are seeking Concord. They're seeking to put forth what the Bible teaches. And so, as a part of the Holy Roman Empire, they are speaking the truth to the world.
A little background, if I may, on this historical context. The Book of Concord was published on June 25th, 1580. That's 50 years to the day after the presentation of the Augsburg Confession, which occurred in 1530 on June 25th. That's what they're referring back to here in this opening, that they are supporters of the Augsburg Confession. You know, Luther began the Reformation in 1517, and so through the 1520s, some of these German territories followed Luther's teaching and thus were not in agreement with the Roman Catholic teaching. And so this was a conflict in the Holy Roman Empire.
Let's let that conflict kind of float there, because we got to take a break. And when we return, let's pick it up right there. Charlie, you're taking us in a great direction. The tie with Luther, the Augsburg Confession, and his death. And we'll pick that up here on Concord Matters on Worldwide KFUO. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. considering that paid price causes you and me to respond ever so gratefully. So I invite you to join me for Moments of Assurance this Sunday, when I'm going to talk about that responding gratefulness. That's Moments of Assurance at 9:15 a.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
This is, by the way, in the Old Testament of the Bible, David is known for the many psalms he wrote, psalms that were musical pieces. David gave expression to the deepest feelings of his heart and soul in musical settings that gave praise to Almighty God. We still have that opportunity, and at this time of the year, there is so much beautiful Christmas music. Perhaps you've been gifted with musical ability. Many of us admire those with such ability. I love to listen to a good choir. Many of the hymns in worship convey beautiful messages in powerful ways. I love the sound of the organ and strings and percussion and brass. And the best of all musical expressions are those that testify to God's greatness. Whether you are performing or just listening, may God be praised. This is By the Way.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service has been there for me since I began the American leg of my journey as a refugee. Their staff helped me and my family to a local church in the community where I resettled, a church whose hospitality could not have been more important in my transition to a welcoming American society. Learn more about Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and journeys like mine, LIRS.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Five new, fresh, and exciting programs coming this December to Worldwide KFUO. On Mondays, Cross Defense, a program of Christian apologetics answering the tough questions of the ages that skeptics often ask. Tuesdays, Concord Matters, a new roundtable discussion on the Lutheran confessions featuring many of your favorite pastors and theologians. Wednesdays, Culture and Christianity with opera diva Lori Lewis. This program takes a penetrating look into the vocations of artists, chefs, musicians, and so many more. Thursdays, The God Whisperers bring their sometimes goofy but always orthodox Lutheran Christianity to Worldwide KFUO. Fridays, Book Talk is coming with a new expanded one-hour format with Pastor Rod Zwanitzer. Five new and exciting shows from 2 to 3 p.m. coming this December on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO.
Welcome back to Concord Matters, the show that uniquely sets as its only goal to have us speak the same thing as God has spoken to us in His Word. Now, think about that. Say the same thing back to God that He's spoken to us. So dangerous to try to paraphrase that until you really know what that original words were all about. And so we seek to do that. We seek to speak the same thing in agreement with God and with each other. To do that, in this show, launching a study of a collection of confessional documents which seek to speak the truths of scriptures. And that book was collected and put together in 1580. Today we're looking at the preface, kind of kicking this off with, there's five of us, brother pastors in the church, and we'll introduce them here briefly. The Reverend Dr. Tim Rosso of Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois.
and a founder and editor of Brothers of John the Steadfast, and his sidekick, associate editor there at steadfastlutherans.org, their blog site, Reverend Joshua Shear of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and here in the studio, Pastor Charlie Ferkins, Hendrickson. I was looking the other way, Charlie. St. Matthew's Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri, and Redeemer in Potosi, as well as Pastor Craig D'Onofrio, programming director here at Worldwide KFUO. Guys, when we left, we were setting the stage or the table, if you will, with how this book came about. And Charlie, you were leading us into the Augsburg Confession and then what happened from 1530 to 1580. Fill us in on that a little bit.
Yeah. Throughout the 1520s, Luther was teaching and his followers were implementing reforms in the churches, and he had gained a lot of adherents, followers, across Northern Europe, Germany, Scandinavia. And because the territories were both church and state, if you will, this was causing disruption for the papacy and also for the empire, the Holy Roman Empire.
Let me stop you there and maybe ask Tim this question, because we didn't cover it. In this opening section, the confessors talk about the remarkable favor of God, which has arisen to the darkness of papal superstitions. What do you think of that, Tim? What are they saying there?
Well, it really was a wonderful time, a perfect timing for the gospel to be rediscovered within the church during the time of the Renaissance, when people were actually focusing on original languages. And so we find that Martin Luther was actually a Hebrew scholar. Philip Melanchthon was a Greek scholar. And so there was a Renaissance going on in culture, and there was a perfect crossroads for the gospel to be rediscovered. The printing press had just been invented, and so people were actually able to see things in print. And
social media of its day, huh?
exactly. And then the superstitions being addressed, in great part, a lot of that was the fault of we Germans who, had really allowed just a lot of witchcraft and superstitious thinking into the various little niches of German society that Charlie was talking about earlier, and Joshua. And these superstitions, they were contrary to the assertions of fact that we find in Holy Scripture. And essentially, it boils down to this. Then I'll let Charlie get back to the history. But essentially, it boils down to this. In my natural state, apart from the truth of Holy Scripture and the gospel of Jesus Christ, I every human being knows there is some sort of divine power. And we know that that divine power is good and holy to some extent, and we feel guilty for not living up to that divine power and holiness, and so we seek ways to make him happy with us. That turns into things like sacrificing various things, whether it be some little habit in my life or to the point of even sacrificing human beings to the gods. So that's the essential superstition. Of course, it was expressed in various ways in the Roman Catholic tradition, which we'll be covering in the months and years to come here on Concord Matters.
Very good. Charlie?
Yeah, it was things like indulgences, relics, pilgrimages, works of satisfaction in penance, the emphasis on our sacrifice that we do in the Mass. These were all things, abuses, that were corrected through the 1520s in the evangelical churches, which became called Lutheran, across Northern Europe. And so the Emperor, Charles V, convened a meeting of the princes in the city of Augsburg in 1530 to try to settle this matter, because for political sake, it would have been nice if they were all together to combat the Muslims at that time. But the princes of the evangelical territory said, we cannot sacrifice the truth of God's word just for political convenience. And so they presented this confession of their faith in a series of articles that were written before the emperor in the year 1530 in Augsburg, Germany. And this is what is being referred to now, 50 years later, saying, now here's the next generation of princes. And they're saying, we stand by that Augsburg Confession in its original form, because in the intervening years, there have been varied, altered editions of that that gave away some of the truth to another group that came along, the Reformed, who did not teach the truth about the Lord's Supper. So that, in a nutshell, led to a document called the Formula of Concord in 1577. And then the people who put that together decided to put all the confessional documents together in this one book called the Book of Concord. And if you want to know what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess, it's here in the Book of Concord that we get all these doctrines from God's own word, and that's why we stand by them.
Now, Craig, did these confessional people that are writing this preface and this collection, did they believe that they were like progressive and now they're like bringing the truth of God into the current model and culture? Or did they write here in this preface that they believed they were doing something else?
Now, this is a hearkening back to the early days of Christendom, the original teachings. It's very Pauline. It's very influenced by St. Paul. And so as you look through the Book of Concord, you're going to find scriptural teachings. And that's what we pastors subscribe to, is that this is the clearest explanation of Scripture. It's not Scripture. It's not on par with Scripture, but it is the clearest explanation of the Scriptures. So as Lutheran Christians, we always want to hearken back to the Word of God. And that's something that, as Charlie was saying, was lost over the first 50 years. I hold to the fact that it takes a denomination about 50 years to implode on itself. And I don't know, maybe we should reform every 50 years or so. But that's what had happened here, as Charlie was explaining. In the first 50 years, along comes Martin Chemnitz. They call him the second Martin, who says, wait, you guys have gone off the rails here. Let's go back. Let's talk about this. And so there were those that were heading toward those Reformed Calvinist and Zwinglian camps. And we can talk about those guys in a lot more detail later on in the program as weeks go by. But they had forsaken the truths that Luther had called us back to. And it only took a brief period of time. As soon as Luther died, everybody started grabbing for power. And of course, they started putting their own spin on it. And then you had Philip Melanchthon, who was Luther's right-hand man, who started equivocating because he's a nice guy. You know, he just wanted to play. He had the can't we all get along theology, yeah. Right? And so that's kind of what brought all this about. But it's a calling us back. It's a reformation. It's not a new formation. It's taking us back
saying,
to the Word of God.
We're going to go back to the apostles and the earliest church and confess and practice and believe the way they did.
Yeah. Josh, I think also, let me just say one more thing here.
If you have to.
You know, you get five pastors in front of a microphone and it's just going to turn ugly fast.
A free-for-all.
But this is one of those things where... And I completely lost my train of thought, so let's go back to where we were.
Okay. What I was going to say is, if you're following along out there, and we hope some of you are, the neat thing about the Book of Concord is, in a section, it's numbered so we can all kind of sync up. And Josh, I wanted to ask you, it's about seven, line seven, it talks about... we did also this so that, both for His Imperial Majesty, our most clement Lord, and also universally for all, and I would say that is talking to us too, that there might be this permanent testimony. It has never been our intention to defend or spread any new and strange teaching. Rather, we desired God aiding us to constantly support and retain the truth that we professed at Augsburg in 1530. We were also led to hold a certain hope that in this way, those who opposed the pure evangelical doctrine would stop making false charges and accusations. We hope that other good and well-intentioned people would be attracted by our renewed and repeated confession. Is that great, Josh? And should that be a goal today, that even in our little humble efforts in our congregations and our synod, even this program, that we would attract good and well-intentioned people to have the same confession, the same speaking back to God as what he has spoken to us.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, it's the hope that we would have that. And you notice there, you know, they hope that even by confessing this, that they would have convinced the opposition to at least stop the false accusations. Of course, the ultimate hope being that you would actually win them over with the truth. But, of course, then they find out the sinful nature of man takes hold. And you know, that's how it works, that people love the lies and they love the darkness more than they love the light. And so they continued their false charges and accusations. All the different things you see throughout the Council of Trent, which is in the middle 1500s, right in this middle interim period where Luther's dead, and the Lutherans are kind of trying to figure out who exactly is Lutheran and what does that actually mean. And you have the Roman Catholics then firmly saying, this is what Roman Catholicism is, you know, and we curse all these other areas of Lutheran thought and all these different things going on. And so you see, as far as today, absolutely, we always need to have that a Charles Porterfield Crowth, a Lutheran in the 19th century, 1800s, wrote a book entitled The Conservative Reformation and Its Theology. And that's the ultimate, is that it's not only reforming, but it's seeking to conserve. It's seeking to hold on to it, to conserve it and just stick to it rather than progress or anything like that. That there's always a need for that, and that's, of course, because we do carry the old Adam with us, and he's constantly coming up with new ways to say the wrong thing.
That's very good. Tim, I want to jump down to 13, line 13.
Paragraph 13.
Paragraph 13, and it's about, I think, three sentences down, where it says, instead, a completely unvarnished declaration of the pure truth might be passed on to future generations. Quoting Psalm 145, verse 4. Isn't that our real goal today, that people would be able to continue this pure confession of God's Word, even past us?
Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons that we desire concord, or need concord, is because... I think as I was reading through this in preparation for today, I was thinking about that very paragraph. If we don't have something worth preserving and defending, the assertions of truth from Scripture, then we don't have anything to pass on to the next generation. And so for those listening out there who, you know, may not be thoroughly convinced that we need to pay close attention to these truths and assertions of Scripture and defend them and keep them pure, I would challenge those people to think of this very notion. Well, you know, do you want to do you have anything you want to pass on to your children in terms of the truth of Scripture?
Well, talking about passing it on, we have. I was going to announce somebody needs to be the first ever caller to Concord Matters, and we have a caller, Mike from Kansas City, that has a question. Welcome to Concord Matters.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor, and I really appreciate the topic. My wife and I were former evangelicals and Catholics, and the hermeneutic that the Book of Concord supports is something that really helped us to see the error in the popular American church and the Catholic church. And what I was hoping was that as you guys go through this Book of Concord throughout the weeks, that you might constantly try to mention how contemporarily relevant it is. I mean, you know, in the Book of Concord, it mentions errors such as the errors of the Synergists. It mentions the errors of the enthusiasts, and it even mentions Luther's book, Bondage of the Will, and Luther's book, Bondage of the Will, concerning free will. You could apply that to the decision theology in our contemporary American church. So I was hoping that you would constantly be making references to how the Book of Concord is relevant. If you would do that, I think a lot more people would be interested in the Book of Concord.
Oh, I agree with you, and I think you're using some words there that while we... pastors, we're into these all the time, and it's you know, we'll unload those as we go. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your call there in Kansas City. Guys, what do you think about what Mike asked for?
Let me just, before we get into his question, just define the terms briefly. Hermeneutic, modes of interpretation or the science of interpretation. Synergism, two Greek words, syn, ergos, to work together. So that's a cooperative salvation.
That man contributes something cooperating with God.
Right.
For his
monergism,
salvation.
Mono, ergos, two words from the Greek, alone working. So God alone is working salvation. Now let's get into the question. I'll turn it over to the other guys.
Charlie?
Oh, I
Tim?
Think that was a great, thank you, Mike. That was a terrific first question for our program. Yes, throughout these weeks, whatever we're talking about, whatever doctrine, we want to make it, what are the contemporary applications in our culture? That is very true. And so I would say, just overall, with the theme of the Book of Concord, that we are not ashamed or embarrassed to speak forth the truth. The culture we live in says you cannot know the truth. And the only thing you can be sure of, and you better be sure of this, is that you can't be sure of anything, which is kind of ironic. So that's the situation in which we live. And our confession, our Book of Concord, takes a different approach. We say, along with Jesus, you know, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen. Guys, any other reaction to Mike's great question to us today? Hearing
crickets.
None.
Hey, Rod, let me say this.
I'm hoping that the two guys are still on the phone here.
Yeah. Rod, could I add this? I know the time is going, but we mentioned earlier how to get a copy of this Book of Concord.
Mm, yeah. Sure.
And on my little blog yesterday on steadfastlutherans.org, I give a link to Concordia Publishing House, cph.org, where you can order a copy. Now, I'm not selling books here. I don't get any profit out of this. But I would encourage people to get a copy of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, a reader's edition of the Book of Concord. And I noticed yesterday they're selling these right now at, I think, like $18.99, which
is
a terrific price. And let me tell you this. In this book, there is a reading guide in the introductory pages for reading through. The book of is called A Book of Concord Reading Guide, Roman numerals 34 and following, in which you can read through the whole Book of Concord over the course of the year, of a year. I would encourage people to take that on as a plan for the year 2014, either on your own personal reading, or get together a little group. Encourage your pastor to have a class in your congregation or in your area over several congregations to read through the Book of Concord. You have the assigned pages for Monday through Friday. And then on one day of the week, whatever it is, come together and have a little discussion about what you read. I did this in my congregation back in 2009. We read through this book, the Book of Concord, over the course of the year in that manner. And it really deepened the faith of our people. It was terrific. And I'm thinking of maybe doing that again since it's been 5 years.
Let me just throw this out there also, Charlie.
Just a second. Tim is coming in there, and then you, Craig.
Sorry about that. Didn't you hear Tim?
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought I would add that one of the things that BJS has done, the Brothers of John the Steadfast, is promote confessional reading groups. We have a list of about 30 of them documented on our website. You can find that list. Also, in my parish, we've had a confessions reading group for 15 years. We're going through the Book of Concord for the second time, and it is just so cool to have this group on the radio here, and I hope that lots of people will tune in.
You know, Tim, your little group you're talking about in your website, that's what inspired me. I was following Brothers of John, and some of my members said, you know, we had one of those confessional reading groups, so we started one on Saturday morning, the third Saturday of every month from 7 to 9 in the morning, and nobody thought anybody would come. That group is going gangbusters now, and the men there absolutely loved it. But the neat thing is, on the air here, we're not exclusive to any one group of people. It's for everybody around the world, so how cool is that?
That is wonderful.
Yeah. And so, you know, they can go on there to look and see if there's somebody in their area. And if not, start one. If your pastor won't do it, a bunch of you get together like we do, bring bagels, donuts, coffee, and turn on the radio with us Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Charlie, I know we've talked about that. You had a group like that, too, that really enjoyed this.
Yes, and one of the advantages of this reader's edition of the Book of Concord is there are all kinds of study helps, historical backgrounds, all explaining the historical references. So you don't need to be intimidated by a term like the Antinomians or the Zwinglians, because there will be a glossary or there'll be introductory helps to help explain those historical references. And really, I compare the Book of Concord, I call it like a great big Bible study. That's really what it is. Mm-hmm. It's investigating the teachings of the scriptures with all kinds of support from verses that are coming together to teach what is the truth of baptism, what is the truth of the person of Christ, and why is this important?
Guys, we're running out of time, so I want to go around the room and thank each one of you and have you give 15 seconds or so of your impressions of our beautiful task. Let's start with the people on long distance. Joshua?
What's that? I'm sorry. I got disconnected for a little while.
Well, welcome back, Josh. I was just saying, going to go around the room real quick and just close by what does having this program mean to you?
Well, this program will be a good way for Lutherans to kind of refresh ourselves, but also to hopefully gain some listeners who are not Lutheran, who might hear something that all of a sudden will make sense and start clicking in their head with some things that maybe they've questioned in their life. More than that, I'd even just encourage them to keep listening, because the Book of Concord is good for the conscience, that the gospel is found throughout, and that gospel is there to forgive sins, and the purity of it in the Book of Concord just does wonderful things for your personal life and your personal piety and for your congregational life. And hopefully you'd be won over to start considering maybe a Lutheran church, as well as hearing these Lutheran teachings.
I love the way you interjected a word that was precious to Martin Luther, conscience. Your conscience should be blameless, and so that's what we hope to do, blameless in that spirit-filled, spirit-led Word of God. So Joshua Shear, pastor there in Cheyenne, blessings to you. We only got a minute left. Tim, about 15 seconds of what the show means to you.
I'll speak to the non-Lutherans, and I'll just simply say, stick with us. You're going to find that the Book of Concord is so thoroughly scriptural, and that's why we are so devoted to it, because we're devoted to Christ's word in Scripture.
Scripture alone. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for being our guest, and blessings out there in the Pacific. Is that Bald Eagle still with us?
He flew away about 20 minutes ago.
Okay. That's why the show went kind of down the tubes there.
Exactly.
Thanks for being with us, Tim. Say hi to Phyllis. Craig, what the show means to you?
I'm going with what Tim said, but I'm going to get my word in here. The Book of Concord can also be had on Kindle through Amazon for $9.99.
Wow, that's a good deal.
So you can get it for cheap if you have a
Kindle. Thanks for that.
Yep.
Yes, electronic guy. Thank you. Thanks for being with us, Craig. Charlie?
My hope for this program, Concord Matters, is the same as the hope of the confessors that they say at the end of paragraph 7. We hope that good and well-intentioned people would be attracted by our renewed and repeated confession. With greater zeal and care, we hope that they would seek and investigate the truth about the heavenly doctrine, which alone is our guide to salvation. And for the soul's salvation and their eternal happiness, we hope that they would agree with our confession, all further controversies and disputations being rejected.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, guys. What a great first show. All praise and honor to God. And tune in next week. I'll be the host, and Pastor Tony Sikora, DeWitt, Michigan, and Pastor Bob Zagore in Traverse City will be my guest, and we'll be turning to the preface to Luther's Small Catechism. Join us next Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time for Concord Matters. Blessings till then in the name of Christ.